I really, really dislike yellow jackets, and I'll be talking about that a little bit. This starts a series that I'm going to be talking to you about called Humanity: What is God's Purpose or God's Purpose in Humanity? And it comes from Acts chapter 17, verse 28, where it says, "In him we live and move and have our being." So I want to talk to you about busy as a hornet. Well, cross that out, busy as a bee. And we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 24, and we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2. My frustration with yellow jackets goes back quite a ways, when I was a kid, actually. So I've hated these little critters since I was a kid. I've always called them hornets, but technically they are not a hornet. You know why? They're too small. Hornets are at least three-fourths of an inch long, and they can get up to, thankfully, not in our part of the world, but they can get up to basically 2.5 inches. Hornets, there's only one natural hornet to the United States or to our part of the world, and that's the European hornet, and that's the only one that's natural to this part of the world, fortunately, because they only grow to about between 3/4 and 1 inch. So that's the only one you'll run into. And really, the middle one is that's a European hornet in the middle there. That's a European hornet. It looks a lot like a yellow jacket, only bigger. The bee on the top, that's a honeybee. A lot of people mistake hornets for honeybees. Hornets are not honeybees. Hornets are, in fact, completely different than honeybees. To help you distinguish them very quickly, a honeybee is orange, kind of an orange yellow and black color, and they are fuzzy. Okay? Hornets and wasps, any of the wasp family, they do not have fuzz all over their body, and they are generally very bright yellow. Very bright yellow and very aggressive. You're right about that. They are very different creatures. Bees will eat only honey and nectar, or nectar and pollen. They do not eat other things. Wasps, all of the members of the wasp family will eat everything. They will eat everything you can imagine. So they are omnivorous, what's called an omnivorous creature. There are many subfamilies to the wasp superfamily. Wasps have something like 34 or close to 50, I guess close to 50,000 different species within the wasp sub superfamily. So it's a huge superfamily. Only a very small number of the wasps fit into what we call yellow jacket and hornet category. Almost all other wasps are what are called solitary. That means they live by themselves, hunt by themselves, and really do not create much of a problem for most of us because they live by themselves. And many of them are beneficial. In fact, some are established in areas because they tend to kill nuisance things like caterpillars and crops. So the solitary wasps actually are a pretty good thing. Some of you will like this. They tend to kill spiders and scorpions. So they can be beneficial. But those are solitary wasps. The hornets don't do that much of that kind of thing. And I'm going to use hornet for yellow jackets because yellow jackets and hornets are very close, very similar to one another. They live what is called in a eusocial group. they have colonies. That's what eusocial means. They have a colony, very hierarchical. They have a queen, they have workers, and they have drones. And the drone's only purpose is to live for a short time and mate, and that's it. So their colonies are basically that. The major difference between hornets and yellow jackets, besides their size, is that yellow jackets can live in a colony up to 5,000, where hornets, generally their colonies don't get any larger than 100, thankfully. So that's the major differences between them. And I'll be honest with you, I absolutely hate yellow jackets. I have a passionate hatred for them. What? They are enemies of the honeybee, and I'll be talking about that in just a minute. I thought about them in relationship to honeybees. Honeybees are productive and valuable parts of society. And to be honest with you, I can't figure out a thing a hornet's good for. I've had people try and tell me they're good for things, but I can't think of a thing that they're good for. They are busy. They're very busy creatures. But their busyness is not really very productive. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the difference between being destructive and constructive or productive in our lives. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 24, beginning in verse 13. My son, eat honey, for it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Lie not in wait as a wicked man against the dwelling of the righteous. Do no violence to his home. For the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. Father, I pray now that you will anoint our ears to hear, our minds to perceive, and our hearts to understand. Anoint me that I might speak the words your people need to hear this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Here is a video about some bees that I thought you'd enjoy.
My mind keeps running around. Every day, it takes a special toll on me. My mind.
Bloom FM, the music app. Come and have a play.
See, I told you they were productive. Bees are fascinating creatures. They are well loved throughout human history. We talk about people that are very productive in their lives, and we call them busy as a bee, right? Because they're productive and they're useful and they're doing things that are productive. But there is that other creature that looks kind of like a bee. And they're busy too, but they're generally busy about destroying things. They are not productive. As Christians, we are called to be productive and not destructive in our industry. I like this particular picture. This is actually taken off of one of the tombs in Egypt. This was a very common symbol in Egypt. It's a bee. The reason why it's so well-liked and so common is because it became a symbol of Lower Egypt. It was called the bee area in Egypt. And so they would often use this as a symbol, just a shorthand symbol, for Lower Egypt in their pictographs. So bees were quite important in the ancient world. I want to talk a little bit about being like a hornet or being like a bee in our lives. And the writer of Proverbs gives us four different ways that we can live productive lives. So what Solomon says is, number one, seek what is good. So if we're looking for what is good, looking to do what is good, we are not going to be destructive. One of the things about hornets that you will discover very quickly is that they are called carrion animals. And one of the videos I watched said, well, we need to protect hornets because hornets and yellow jackets are carrion and they help clean up. Well, they don't clean up that much, and there are other insects that do a lot better job than them. Ants and carrion beetles, and also there are certain flies that do a far better job of dealing with carrion than yellow jackets. Some people said, well, they pollinate. Yes, they do occasionally pollinate, but they also kill far more pollinators than they pollinate. They're very destructive to bees. So to be honest with you, there's not a whole lot that they seek that is good. Seek wisdom. Wisdom is applying your knowledge to life in a positive way. Most of you probably wonder why we have such a terrible time during the fall with yellow jackets and hornets. There is a real reason for that. Their colonies are in the process of dying. Their colonies do not last more than 6 months to a year. And so when the colony dies, they lay the queens for the next year. And so they are in the process of trying to get those queens up to strength so that when they hatch, they can go burrow in under some leaves or under a log somewhere until they can come out next spring. And so basically, all these workers are not really that necessary, so they're basically set loose to pillage. So these yellow jackets you're seeing everywhere, they're pillagers. That's basically what they're doing. They are greedy creatures. In fact, one of the easiest ways to catch them in the spring is because they are going after meat. You take a little chunk of raw meat and nail it to the bottom side of a board and hang that board over top of a large pot or vessel. And just set it over top of it, and then fill that vessel up to within an inch, just about an inch, from that piece of meat. What will happen is the hornets will come in to get the meat, and when they are so greedy, they'll take such a big blob of it that when they try and fly off, they'll drop into the water, and if you put soap in it, it'll take the wax off of their wings and they'll die. And it's one of the most effective ways of catching queens, believe it or not, in the spring. So if you want to try and work on that in the spring, that works pretty good for catching queens, and a piece of chicken works really good for that process. So they are covetous. They are greedy creatures. And we are told to be perseverant. And when cold weather comes, hornets die off. They don't live but 1 year. The queen will live only 1 year. She can't live beyond that. So their colony dissipates after 1 year. Bees can live 5 years. A queen can live 5 years. And in that period of time, a hive can produce year after year 80 to 100 pounds of honey. So they are persistent. They are valuable and persistent creatures. The symbol of the city-state of Ephesus was a bee. It was stamped on their coins from almost 600 years before Christ came. They would stamp a bee on their coins, and that was to tell you this coin came from the city of Ephesus. And the reason they did that is that that symbol was a symbol of productivity and orderly community and perseverance. And that's why the people of Ephesus used that symbol for their city. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians in chapter 2, enjoins Christians not to live a destructive life, but to live a productive life. I want to talk to you about three thoughts from Ephesians chapter 2. The first thought is, what does it mean to live like a hornet? The second thought is becoming a bee. And the third thought is living like a bee. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying about the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." This picture is of yellow jackets. There are four basic species of yellow jackets in the United States. There are yellow jackets in other countries as well. But these are the four different species that live here in the United States. And they are quite diverse. The difference between them and hornets, as I said, are their size. They're about the size of a honeybee, and quite often we confuse the two of them, don't we? So they're very often of that size, but they are what are called social wasps. Like I said, hornets and yellow jackets are two of the very few wasp species that are social. They stick around in these colonies. They stay with their colonies. They spend most of their time scavenging protein from dead bodies and dead things, or killing things to get protein. They will also go after any sweet liquid, and if you've got a pop sitting out, they're going to come after it. If you've got juice sitting out, they're going to come after it. They are after that kind of thing. They do a little bit of pollination, but it is very limited. They build elaborate and beautiful nests. And if you look inside those nests, they are very much like what a bee builds. But when we talk about a hornet, we are talking about a creature that is generally seen as destructive. Most cultures, ancient cultures, viewed hornets as being a harbinger of destruction and pain and misery in your culture. The Oriental hornet is the one that it's mentioned in the Bible in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 23, the Oriental hornet is recommended as, or talked about by God as being sent among the Canaanites to drive them out of the land of Canaan. And it's mentioned three times in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 20, and Joshua chapter 24, verse 12. The hornet is sent out into the land to drive out the Canaanites. So you can imagine what it's like to have a hornet driving you out. It must have been absolutely miserable for them. The hornet they're talking about is the Oriental hornet, and it grows to about 2 inches in length and has a very, very painful sting. Has one of the most painful stings in the world. It is a very painful creature. When we live like a hornet, we follow our appetites and our emotions. Hornets are, you've heard of mad as a hornet? I don't know if you've ever stepped on a hornet's nest while you're mowing. They actually will nest down in the ground in old holes from mice or rabbits, that kind of thing. They'll actually build a nest in there. And if you step on it, they will swarm you and sting you. I discovered that in Virginia. They do that. That's a bigger problem in Virginia than it is here. But they will nest in the ground, and you do anything that disturbs above their nest, and they're going to come out and sting the daylights out of you. Or if you get near one of their paper nests, they're going to sting you. They're going to come after you. Or if they want what you've got, they're going to come after you. They are very aggressive animals. But the interesting thing is that their colony only lasts for 6 months most of the time and then begins to die out. So they're only a short-lived creature. They're not a long-lived creature. The colony produces new queens just in the fall, and they lay out under debris until spring, and then they come out and start a new colony. So that's how that all works. Now, how in the world do you get rid of these critters? Well, hornets are extremely easy to trap. That's actually a trap in my backyard. That trap has only been operating since, I cleaned it out on Thursday and rebaited it, and in less than 3 days, it had hundreds of hornets in it. And it works extremely well. But I want to show you how to build a trap that works just about as well as that one and is pretty cheap. It's made out of a 1 liter or 2 liter bottle. You cut the top off of it like that, and then you take the top and push it down inside of it like that. And then, as I've done, I took a punch and punched a hole on each side, and then you hang it from a wire. Okay? That's the first part of the process. But now you need to bait the trap. Remember I told you they liked meat, tuna, cat food, or hot dogs work really good. And all you need is a few pieces. You don't need a bunch of it. Just a few pieces. And smear a little bit of that here inside the funnel before you actually drop it down into the hole. That will be an attractant to bring them in. Okay, so you smear some of that meat on here. And if you really want to make it an effective trap, you do something else. This is apple juice mixed with a little bit of dishwashing soap. Not a lot, just a little bit. That helps break the surface tension. Remember I told you about their wings getting washed off and they drowned? Well, this is what that does. You take this and fill it to about an inch below. Now, you can add some things to this. You can add sugar to it, but do not add honey. If you add honey, it will attract bees. So don't add honey. You can add even a little vinegar, and that will help discourage bees even more. It will not discourage the hornets. They're so greedy, they don't care. But you pour that in to just about an inch below here and hang it up in your yard, and I can guarantee you, within a day, you will have this thing full of hornets. because they yellow jackets love the smell of it. They'll come in like crazy. And if you spill a little bit of this on the outside, they'll take it back to their nest and tell everybody where it's at, and then they'll come and fill it up. And that's even better. So I encourage you to do that and take care of those hornets in your property. One of the things that I have discovered about hornets is that they are caught by their appetites. And they are caught by their emotions. Remember, they're angry, so they come in at things. So they're easy to trap. They're easy to trap because they get wrapped up in that emotional thing. Do you know we're easy to ensnare when we do that? We're easy to trap when that becomes our style of living. In Romans chapter 3, Paul talks about this character of being easy to be trapped and ensnared. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips, and their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Their paths are ruin and misery. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This large hornet that you see in this picture is called the murder hornet. It's the Mongolian hornet. It's the largest hornet in the world. It is 2.5 inches in length. And in 2020, we had a terrible scare in this country because in Washington State, they discovered a colony of these hornets. Their sting is the worst in the world. It can kill a mouse. It's that serious and that venomous. This creature will literally go after bees in mid-flight, grab them, hold them, and rip their throats out because it wants the nectar in their throats. It is considered one of the most scary of all hornets. It will destroy beekeeping in an area. It is that serious of a predator toward bees. They sent entomologists all over Washington to try and see if there were any more of these nests, and they think they've rooted all of them out. They haven't seen any more since 2020, but they did capture a small colony of them in Washington State. And so that was a really, really big concern for a while. We talk about being like a hornet. That's what we're talking about. They operate from a self-centered nature. They are intentionally ignorant of God's nature. They seek after worthless things, after carcasses. They destroy others with their words. They leave a wake of destruction behind them. They seek conflict. And boy, haven't you ever seen it? A swarm of yellow jackets, they seem to love conflict. They go after it everywhere. And they don't respect God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a hornet. I don't want to be that in my life. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks to us about being converted from that. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. In other words, you've been turned from a hornet into a bee because of Jesus. Cool. Very cool. Becoming a bee, well, bees live in hierarchical groups just like hornets do, don't they? There's the queen bee, and then the colony can be as large as 50,000. But most of them are around 23,000. So the colonies can be quite large. One of the earliest methods of beekeeping was this particular device called a skep. It's made out of straw that is woven into a rope, and then it is woven together with generally some type of rope or sticks, and it's held together in this dome-like structure. That is what they originally used for hives for bees. They would capture wild bees, get them in the hives, and keep them there. And that was how that was operated. They became so important that literally on the sides of houses in medieval Europe, you will find little niches for these to be placed. And that's kind of cool. It talks about how important and how productive they were, because they produce honey, they produce wax, and they pollinate things. What a wonderful creature. And really, they don't sting you unless, well, you make them upset or concerned. People that work around bees very often do not wear any protective gear. I had the privilege of helping a guy collect a swarm at one time, and he didn't wear any protective gear. He said the bees are very docile during their swarm, so they're not going to sting you unless you get them upset. And he just got up and cut the branch they were on and shook them into the hive. And it was really cool. I had a great time with it. But it was a wonderful experience to understand that they do not want to sting you. They have no desire to do that. The problem with the skep is that most of the time you have to destroy the colony to get the wax or the honey out of it. So modern beekeepers use very, very carefully constructed beehives. They're designed so that literally the queen is excluded from the top part of the hive, and the workers are not, and they build up what's called a honey in a super. And you can have supers as high as 4 supers on top of a hive. And they'll fill all those supers with honey in a good year. We talk about that hive or that concept of bees as being a society or a group that works together in a well-ordered community, and they have a positive benefit. Bees are also very protective. They are very protective of their queen. If the temperature drops below 50 degrees in the hive, literally all the worker bees will clump up around their queen. And with their own heat of their own body, they will raise the temperature right around her up to 96 degrees, even if it costs their own lives. That is part of their protection of what is important. They keep the hive at 104 degrees because that's the optimal temperature for the production of new bees. We talked about Psalm 19, and there are some principles about living a productive life and having the character of a bee in our lives. Number one, in Psalm 19, we must learn the law, the purpose of God. We must learn to respect and honor who God is. There are certain benefits when we do this. The first one is that our lives are filled with value. We have joy rather than just happiness. We are warned of life's dangers, and we have honor and success in our lives. You know, nobody ever stamped a picture of a hornet on their coins. I want to be like a hornet! But they stamp pictures of bees. And the reason is because they're productive and valuable. And you will have honor and success if you are productive and valuable. The writer of Psalm 19 tells us that we also need to have a healthy dose of self-skepticism and awareness of ourselves. And we must have a desire to honor God. Bees have a desire to honor their hive and honor their queen. And they have a desire to protect that, even at the cost of their own lives. In Ephesians chapter 2, what does it mean to live like a bee? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is a powerful picture. I want to show it to you. This is the carnage outside of a beehive that a yellow jacket was trying to invade. Yellow jackets or hornets, if they can get into a beehive, will in one night kill the entire colony. They will kill the queen first and then go after the workers. They will go through and eat all of the larvae, and they will eat it, all of the honey. They will literally destroy everything. You notice that that one hornet is dead finally, but it took five bees to kill him. But they willingly gave their life to protect the hive. They are willing to defend what is important to their very life, to the very end. In Leviticus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, I found an interesting thing, and I had to think about it for a while to get an understanding of it. I want to share it with you, and we're coming to the close here. No grain offering that you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey as a food offering to the Lord. As an offering of first fruits, you may bring them to the Lord. But they shall not be offered on the altar as a pleasing aroma. I had to think about that. Why honey, and why couldn't they be burned on the altar? And it came to me. The altar, the burnt offering on the altar, was a sin offering. It was to appease the justice of God and the righteousness of God. Jesus did that for us. honey is the produce of work and effort and what is good. It can be offered as a fellowship offering with God, but it is not offered as a sin offering to God. It is the produce of our lives, the blessing of our lives. Christ saved you and me that we might be a blessing. Stingers are serious things. They come from, you see up here a picture of a hornet stinger and you see a picture of a bee stinger. They look an awful lot alike, but they're very different. The bee stinger is attached to the abdomen of the bee in such a way that if the bee stings something, generally, that part of the abdomen is literally pulled out. It is a death sentence for the bee. When they sting something, it's their death. When the hornet stings, they never lose their stinger. They can just go on stinging as many times as they want. And not only can they sting, but because they have such powerful jaws, they can bite, and they do. So they will bite and sting both. They can sting without reason because they're not losing anything. But for us as Christians, there must be a reason when we sting. It must be a reason that we're protecting something important because it costs us something when we do that. So we need to be careful. That's one of the reasons why a person can work around bees without a lot of fear of getting stung. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, Paul says to the Philippians, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." And here's the point. Bees were designed to do good work. And they do. They do good work. They are not destructive. They are productive. They do what is good. Even in very difficult places, as you can see in the hollow where lightning has struck this tree, they built a hive. So even in difficult circumstances, they are productive. They are not agents of destruction. The question for you and for me today is this: are you going to be an agent of destruction, or are you going to be an agent of production? Are you going to be busy as a hornet, or would you rather be busy as a bee? The choice really, as a Christian, comes down to this: God has called us to be productive, not destructive. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Father, thank you for calling us to be productive. There is such a temptation to be like a hornet, to go at the world with greed and with malice. But that's not what you've called us to be. You've called us to be a fellowship offering with you, gladdening your heart by the joy that we bring and the value we produce. So God, help us to be that type of people. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. And go get those yellow jackets. Kill every one of those little critters.